Chapter 11. Arising as a Deity. From self-pity to divine self-emanation. The most important thing about tantric practice is to get a taste, an actual experience of something that has meaning for you. It doesn't matter how small the piece of chocolate you get is. You taste it and you are satisfied. That is all. So those people who get something really clear in their mind and then, the minute they understand it, put it directly into their heart, these are the people who are truly practicing. They are the ones who are getting the chocolate. Our normal dualistic mind, our so-called realistic mind, always interprets that something is not right, something is not complete about me and my surroundings. It is always criticizing. That is the symptom of the dualistic mind. Something is always wrong. Our dualistic mind is either placing extra qualities onto what exists or else is underestimating it. Such a nervous, dissatisfied mind never follows the middle way. Whether consciously or not, it feels, my nature is impure. I was born with impurities. Right now I am impure. I am going to die with impurities and end up in hell. It doesn't matter if we call ourselves religious or non-religious, philosophical or atheistic. As long as we are out of touch with basic reality, we remain under the influence of such deluded, self-defeating views. If we want to be free of all diseases of body and mind, it is extremely important to rid ourselves of all such mistaken, self-pitying concepts. What is our problem? It is that we feel, I am the worst kind of person. Impure, full of hatred, ignorant, and greedy. I am so bad. This kind of thinking, holding such a low opinion of ourselves, even if we do not express it in words, is completely negative. This is what we need to purify. Tantra says that human beings have a truly divine quality, the nucleus of each human being, each person's essential nature, is something divine, something pure. To realize this, and to make this realization an integral part of our life and not a mere intellectualization, it is necessary, as we have already discussed, to emanate strongly as a deity. Emanating yourself as a deity has nothing to do with a particular culture or a particular set of beliefs. You are already emanating. When you emanate your self-pity image, you do not think that you are involved with a particular culture. You just do it. Stop following this ignorant habit. Cultivate strong divine pride and emanate yourself as a deity instead. Begin to live up to your tremendous potential. The best, most precise way to practice emanating as a deity is to do the three kaya meditation. The great tantric masters of the past, such as Lama Tsongkhapa, have emphasized that there is nothing more essential than this practice. Dissolution. The sadhana of the deity we are practicing may contain an elaborate description of the three kaya practice, but it is sufficient to do an abbreviated version such as the following. We start by reminding ourselves of the refuge we have taken in the three jewels, and cultivating the heartfelt bodhicitta motivation to achieve enlightenment in order to benefit others. Then we engage in guru yoga, the root of the tantric path. We visualize our tantric master before us and see him or her as the embodiment of all the enlightened qualities we wish to realize within ourselves. We imagine that the guru comes to the top of our head, dissolves into light, and descends into our heart. As the guru sinks into us in this way, we visualize that we are experiencing the various visions of death that lead up to the dawning of the very subtle clear light consciousness. In this way, we meditate upon the unification of our guru's blissful wisdom with our own very subtle mind. Drawing upon our memory of the initiations we have received and upon our contact with the Guru's clarity and compassion, we should imagine this unification to be as blissful as possible. The more we are able to experience bliss, the better it will be for the process of transformation. This subtle, blissful experience of union is beyond any of our ordinary dualistic concepts. As all our ordinary appearances dissolve into the empty space of non-dual wisdom and simultaneous great bliss, we concentrate upon this dissolution as single-pointedly as possible. We should think, this is the enlightened truth body, and this is who I really am. By identifying ourselves as completely as possible with the Dharmakaya, we transform the ordinary death experience into the path to enlightenment. As we meditate upon the Dharmakaya in this way, the self-concepts we have been holding on to will break down somewhat. This is good enough to qualify as an actual emptiness experience. Don't become discouraged and think, I don't have any realization of emptiness. I don't even understand the word emptiness or how to practice anything. Don't think this way. It is only a hindrance, after all. To some extent, we do already have some experience of the clear light. We have died many times in the past, and Tantra explains that the process of dying automatically involves the discovery of the clear light and the non-dual nature of totality. Not only while dying, but during sleep and orgasm as well, we get a taste of this clear light totality. To a certain extent, these experiences break down the concrete concepts of the self-pitying mind, softening them somehow. So do not worry about how profound your understanding of emptiness should be. It is enough for the moment that you are no longer involved with the concrete concepts of this and that. Just let go and allow your grasping to dissolve into clear spaciousness. Remain alert and feel that this alert consciousness is the wisdom embracing the universal expanse of clean, clear space. In this space, the self-pitying me, crying and complaining about this and that, is nowhere to be found. It is completely non-existent. Allow the mind to stay in this spaciousness, which is free of all relative puzzles and all false functions, recognizing it as the actual Dharmakaya experience. It is a clean and clear natural state, without even a speck of rubbish thinking, completely empty of all complicated ego conflicts. It is reality, and you merely allow your mind to dwell there alertly. Perhaps you feel uncomfortable with this explanation of the clear light experience. Intellectually, you might argue, wait a minute, Lama Yeshe, if you are saying that emptiness is nothing but the emptiness of space, you are wrong. You have oversimplified a very complex subject. This is not Nagarjuna's view. This is not the Madhyamaka philosophy. True emptiness is not the same as merely pretending to dissolve into space. You can argue in this way. You can debate all the fine philosophical points and prove that dissolving into space is not what is meant by emptiness. But actually, this is a garbage argument. Why? Because such an intellectual approach to emptiness often becomes an obstacle to discovering the actual experience of emptiness. You can write a whole book conclusively refuting emptiness as space, or argue and debate for an entire lifetime, but it would be a complete waste of time. It is true that in our studies we try to gain as philosophically correct a view of emptiness as we can, so that we can understand it exactly as Nagarjuna and all the other great scholar meditators have understood it. But now, during this meditation, we are not concerned with studying and analyzing. We are concerned with acting. And in the context of actualizing the Dharmakaya clear light experience, all Indian and Tibetan gurus have stated that space is the number one example for comprehending non-duality, or emptiness. To gain the true emptiness experience, you have to begin somewhere. You have to have some experience, some taste of what it is like to go beyond the mundane, ego-generated puzzles of this and that. This is the main point. Somehow we have to let go of all the gross, concrete, and limiting concepts keeping us trapped in an unsatisfactory, mundane view of ourselves and everything else. From a philosophical point of view, it is said that in emptiness there are no forms, no sounds, no smells, and so forth. Such a view can be translated into actual experience by allowing everything to dissolve into space by means of the death process absorptions. In that moment of dissolution, your mind has no way to magnetize contact with the accustomed sensory world. In the clear light space of emptiness, there are no colors, odors, sensations, and so on. all narrow dualistic puzzles disappear and, as a result, the natural state of your mind is allowed to radiate, to embrace the entire world of reality. You stay as long as you can in this spacious non-dualistic state and feel that by doing so you have reached the actual Dharmakaya, the completely unobscured wisdom of full enlightenment. Reappearance. Now, how do you move to the Sambhogakaya experience? While floating in the space of the Dharmakaya, you let go until there is nothing left to disturb your mind. Nothing at all. Then, after some time, the puzzles of relativity will start to reassert themselves, somehow beginning to magnetize your mind, drawing your attention to them. This is the time for you to move from the Dharmakaya to the Sambhogakaya experience. Only you can know when. No one else can tell what is going on in your mind. When this dualistic shaking arises in your mind, remember your compassionate wish to benefit others and make the strong determination to arise in a form to which others can relate. Then, within the space of non-duality, the clear light space of emptiness, something begins to appear. This is like a small cloud suddenly appearing in the expanse of clear sky. The shape and the color of what appears in the spaciousness of your mind at this point depends upon the type of practice you are doing. In many sadhanas, it is a syllable or letter symbolizing the main deity, or it can be a squiggle, or a seed, or some other shape. But whatever it is should be understood as a subtle manifestation of your consciousness itself. It is not something that you are watching from the outside. Instead, you should feel completely unified with it. It is the shape of your own emerging mind. Then, just as you strongly identified the spacious clear light as the actual Dharmakaya experience, you should now recognize this subtle transparent form, which is similar to the immaterial body we possess when in the ordinary bardo between death and birth, as the actual Sambhogakaya experience. It, too, should be experienced as the indistinguishable unity of great bliss and non-dual wisdom, now identified as the actual enjoyment body of Buddha. Think, this is the real Sambhogakaya. It is who I really am. For a while, maintain the clear appearance of this seed syllable and the divine pride of being the Sambhogakaya, thereby transforming the ordinary intermediate state experience into the path of the enlightened enjoyment body. When you are ready, bring to mind your bodhicitta motivation to work for the sake of others, and make the strong determination to arise in a form to which even more beings can relate. With this compassionate motivation, the seed syllable suddenly transforms into the transparent rainbow body of the deity itself. Understand this as being the actual emanation body of full awakening that replaces the gross physical body of ordinary rebirth, and has the nature of simultaneous bliss and wisdom. Once again, identify strongly with this appearance by thinking, this is the real Nirmanakaya. It is who I really am. In this way, then, ordinary rebirth is taken into the path as the emanation body of a Buddha. When you see yourself as a deity, you should feel that you are the real emanation of the deity. Don't think that you are just pretending. You should be convinced. Then, like the actor who remains in character even after the play is finished, you might surprise yourself to find that you have actually become the deity. Such divine pride, the strong sense of actually being the deity, is crucial. With it, tantric transformation will come naturally and be very powerful. Those people who think that tantra is only involved with pretending to be a deity are completely mistaken. Letting go. Although during your meditation you may be trying your best to stay in a conscious, open state of non-duality, you may easily become distracted by the arising of various superstitious thoughts. When this happens, instead of fighting with these superstitions, it is often best to simply imagine yourself strongly as your particular deity, as Tara, for example, and develop a deep awareness of great love and compassion. Stay within the space of this deep awareness and just let yourself be Tara. If again you find yourself distracted by concepts of this and that, suddenly you are thinking about eating a pizza. Do not give them a lot of energy. Instead of entering into conversation in your mind, How I wish I had a pizza. Instead of sitting here miserably in meditation, I could be enjoying myself. Start to say Tara's mantra.
Om Tara Tutare Ture Svaha.
Until you settle down again. This is much more skillful than letting yourself get carried away by the worldly mantra, pizza, pizza, pizza. Too much expectation is another great hindrance to successful meditation. This superstitious attitude prevents us from being satisfied with our meditational experiences and continually forces us to compare these experiences with some imagined ideal. We upset ourselves by thinking, according to the teachings I have received, at this point I should be experiencing great bliss. But what I am feeling now is hardly blissful. I must be a failure. We make ourselves so tense anticipating the expected experience that it never comes. This is easily understandable. How can bliss ever arise in a mind that is worried and uptight? The only solution is to let go. Realize that expectations are a hindrance and let go of them as soon as they arise. In other words, we should be a little looser in our approach. Sometimes we put too much energy into our practice, or we discipline ourselves too severely, thinking that this will bring us more quickly to the desired realizations. But too much effort often has the opposite effect. It prevents our progress instead of helping it. Think of new drivers who have not yet learned to relax behind the wheel. Because they are anxious to do everything correctly, they are constantly busy, adjusting their steering, speed, and so forth. The result is a jerky, uncomfortable ride. Instead of being a pleasurable experience, driving becomes a chore. Experienced drivers, on the other hand, are relaxed. Although they remain aware of what is going on, they have learned to let go and allow the car to drive itself. As a result, their ride is smooth and effortless, and it sometimes feels as if the car were flying blissfully through the air rather than bouncing noisily along the road. If we want to experience a similar bliss in meditation, we must learn to let go of our expectations and decrease our excessive self-conscious efforts. Divine pride and clear appearance. The generation stage training in the divine pride of a deity is very important. Our normal tendency is to feel dissatisfied and to criticize our body, speech, and mind. My body is out of shape, my voice is unpleasant, my mind is confused. We are so caught up in this pointless, neurotic habit of criticism that we disparage others as well as ourselves. From the tantric point of view, this is extremely damaging. The way to counter this tendency is to cultivate a sense of divine pride. The strong feeling when entering the Nirmanakaya experience, for example, that you are the actual fully enlightened emanation body of a Buddha, that your mind is completely free of all superstitions, all limitations. Otherwise, if you continue to hold on to the idea that you are basically confused and angry, you will manifest as a confused and angry person, certainly not as a blissful deity. You can stop this destructive way of thinking about yourself and avoid the negative, self-defeating consequences by concentrating on the oneness of your own fundamental consciousness and the wise, compassionate qualities of the Guru deity. In this way, you open yourself up to the great waves of inspiration that can transform your life completely. The more intensely you concentrate on this feeling of divine pride, the more profoundly will you experience freedom from all forms of limitation and dissatisfaction. The practice of highest yoga tantra, rather like an excellent Christmas pudding, which is rich, wholesome, and quite delicious, should have three special flavors. 1. The appearance of oneself and of all other beings should be that of the deity. 2. One's mind should be inseparable from non-dual wisdom. And 3. Every experience should be of great bliss, great joy. Don't just pretend to be the deity, as I have already said. That is not what you are doing when you visualize yourself as the deity. Instead, you should feel from the depths of your being that you are Haruka, for example, that you and he are an inseparable unity. The more you cultivate this unity, the more powerful your experience of transformation will become. This is completely natural. You should also practice seeing all appearances as illusory, lacking concreteness as something out there, separate from your mind. In other words, you should recognize all appearances as arising from emptiness, as having the very nature of emptiness, of non-duality. Finally, your experience of empty, illusory appearance should be of an exceedingly blissful nature. This is accomplished during the completion stage of highest Yoga Tantra by bringing your attention inside in such a way that you become intensely aware of the blissful Kundalini energy pervading your nervous system. This enables you to blend all your experiences with this great blissful energy. As an aid to the process of transformation, certain physical exercises, such as those contained in Hatha Yoga, play a very important part in the practice of the completion stage. But they are not merely exercises designed to improve our posture or better our health. Their ultimate purpose is to increase our blissful Kundalini energy. This blissful energy pervades our entire nervous system. But the problem is that we don't recognize it. Through the proper practice of Hatha Yoga, we can learn to get in touch with and even increase this blissful energy and learn how to communicate with it so that we can bring it anywhere we want to. This is not for the purpose of gaining ordinary pleasure, but rather to gain control over the subtlest levels of our body and mind. However, when performing any of these exercises, it is essential to maintain mindfulness of oneself as a deity. We must put away our limited self-image and all our self-pitying ideas, for only then will these exercises become truly effective. Through proper practice, there will come a time when merely touching a part of our body will cause great bliss to arise. As the body starts feeling lighter and more flexible, physical energies that before were a source of pain begin to activate sensations of extreme pleasure. Tantric transformation, then, is not merely a matter of imagination. Our physical being is profoundly transformed as well. The Tantric Personality. Many people say, the body is not really important. The most important thing is to meditate inwardly. But this is wrong. According to Tantra, we cannot say that the mind is more important than the body, or that the body is more important than the mind. They are of equal importance. In Tantric practice, the body is understood to be like a plot of ground containing untold mineral wealth. This body of ours, for all its suffering nature, contains the most valuable of natural resources. Kundalini gold, Kundalini oil. At one time or another, we have all experienced sensations of great bodily bliss. Sometimes we are just sitting down, relaxing, and suddenly a feeling of intense bliss will sweep over us. This experience is common and is not a particularly high realization. But it does give a hint of the great store of blissful energy contained within your body, even at the present moment. The purpose of the various yogas, exercises, and meditations of highest tantra is to arouse, control, and utilize this blissful energy resource for the attainment of complete fulfillment, the enlightenment of Buddhahood. For as long as you do not lose your head and can maintain mindfulness, it does not matter how much blissful pleasure you have. It does not matter whether you call this pleasure samsaric, worldly, or whatever. It can lead to liberation. The essence of Tantra is dealing skillfully with pleasure. The person who qualifies for Tantra is someone who can cope with pleasure, someone for whom dealing with pleasure becomes a conductive situation for achieving liberation. This is the Tantric personality. If a person only knows how to be miserable, then Tantra will not work for him or her. Like a nuclear reactor without any fuel, such a person will have no resource to utilize for the necessary transformations. However, the resource of pleasure is already existent within this human body of ours. This is one major reason why this human form is considered so precious. What we need is a skillful method for awakening and then using this resource to bring perfect happiness not only to ourselves but to all others as well. In order to do this, we must learn to break the habit of relating to our experiences in life with a miserable mind, with our accustomed miserable projections. We should recognize that we create all human problems ourselves. We should not blame them on society. We should not blame our mother and father or our friends. We should not blame anyone else. Our problems are our own creation. But just as we are the creator of all our own problems, we are also the creator of our own liberation. and everything that is necessary for attaining this blissful liberation is contained in the body and mind we have right at this very moment. Integrating wisdom and enjoyment. The purpose of generating ourselves as a deity through the practice of the three bodies, or kayas, of a Buddha, is to smash through our self-pitying concept, our suffocating conception of ego. For it is this limiting conceptualization that prevents us from experiencing the explosion of blissful energy latent within our nervous system, and thereby realizing our potential for full enlightenment. The wisdom of emptiness is blissful. It is very important that two elements, clear-sighted wisdom into the true nature of things, and the feeling of joyous blissfulness, be unified in one experience. In the West, we can see that while so many young people are intelligent, they still experience very little or no joy in their lives. Being smart has not made them happy. Instead, many of them are totally disturbed. They can accomplish all sorts of feats, such as designing complex computer games, but because they lack the proper methods for integrating their intellect and their emotions, they remain dry, intellectual, sterile, and very dissatisfied. In contrast, there are other people who have a more practical ability to enjoy themselves, but many of them have no clear intelligence, no sharp, penetrating awareness. Although they have a certain contentment in their lives, their minds are dull and plodding. Tantra tries to cultivate great wisdom, putting intelligence into practical experience, by unifying it with blissfully heightened awareness. In this way, it is possible to integrate one's life and fulfill one's potential for happiness, while eradicating all the problems normally associated with the pursuit of pleasure. For in this world, pleasure is a problem. For many affluent people, gross physical miseries such as hunger and disease are not really a significant problem at all. But how to deal with pleasure without becoming berserk or degenerate? That is a big unanswered question for them. The unified tantric experience offers the solution. It has already been mentioned several times that according to Tantra, the fundamental human problem is that when we have pleasure, we generally become more ignorant, more dark inside. This does not mean we should not have pleasure. We should have pleasure, but we need to keep from going out of control while experiencing pleasure. We have to keep from falling under the influence of ignorance and delusion. So at this time, we are learning how it is possible to experience incredible pleasure while remaining in a state of clarity and control. We are learning how the experience of pleasure can give rise to clean, clear, penetrative wisdom. It is common for us to be possessive about what is happening to us. Even when we are successful in our meditations and feel the blissful Kundalini energy arising, there is a strong tendency to hold on to it tightly. This is my experience, it is mine. This is the habit we have to break somehow. We must learn to allow pleasurable experiences to happen without grabbing onto them as mine. We can accomplish this by unifying our mind with emptiness, with non-duality. Then, when pleasure arises, it is as if it is being experienced somewhere out in space. It is difficult to express this in words, so I hope you don't have trouble understanding what I am trying to say. Somehow, we have to go beyond our normal habit of possessiveness, of relating everything to our limited sense of self. Perhaps I can make it a little clearer. Imagine that in front of you is a person, a man or a woman, whom you find extremely attractive. Just looking at this person arouses great energy in you. Maybe you want to reach out and grab him or her. Now imagine that this person suddenly dissolves into rainbow light, radiant and transparent. Automatically, all your heavy feelings of desire and possessiveness also dissolve, and in their place, something lighter, more buoyant arises. You still have some relationship with this beautiful object, but it has changed. You have let go of your grasping attitude and now experience something more spacious, more universal instead. It is such a light, blissful, yet intensely aware experience that I am talking about. This is what we are trying to cultivate.